good afternoon and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 2:06. Nice day here in central Wisconsin. Plenty of sunshine, fair skies. Temperature stands at 35 degrees. And glad you could join me here from 2 until 4 p.m. Coming up on the program in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by former state Senate candidate Bob Look. Talk about what's going on in terms of state political issues. And also, I may drop a sports question or two in there as well because I just can't help myself. So Bob Look will be coming up at 2:15 here today. And then coming up at 3:15. One of the big stories here in central Wisconsin recently is the Wausau School Board and the district restructuring plan. And we will have somebody that has put out a petition to try and slow it down. In fact, looking to halt the district restructuring plans and hold an advisory referendum. A petition has roughly 1,400 supporters in the first 4 or 5 days or so. And we will be talking to Nora Brown. She is a Wausau School District parent petition organizer coming up at 3:15. Find out from Nora Brown about this petition. Talk about her process. When did she hear about this change? What caused her to go in this direction and her thoughts on the changes and what she'd like to see done in the future? So again, Nora Brown, Wausau School District parent petition organizer, will be coming up at 3:15 today here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. In fact, last night was another meeting where nearly the entire Wausau School Board got together. It was a Education Operations Committee meeting last night. President Jim Boucher was not there, but basically all the other members, and they were talking about, again, the process and in terms of where we are going with this reconsolidation, or I should say consolidation of schools in the Wausau School District. And number one, I got home from work yesterday and I tuned it in and I watched this meeting, and I got to say it was very, very enlightening. It was very, very, I thought, interesting. I thought it was a really good opportunity to hear from the members of the board, hear some of the questions they had. They brought in some experts in terms of some of the questions, including transportation. Of course, transportation has been one of the issues being talked about. Got a feel in terms of how the consolidation would change some of the travel times and some of the, you know, the length of time for children and the information parents would need in terms of the future. And I just, again, found it very enlightening. But the one thing, and we're going to talk more about specifics on this a little bit later on, but one thing that did catch my attention is I tuned it in and I kept keeping an eye on the number of folks who are watching, because obviously when they do put the stream up on YouTube, the live stream, you can see the number of folks that are tuned in. And when I got on, it was in the 70s. It got up into the mid to upper 90s, and then it was down to about 90 again. So basically somewhere between the mid-70s to the mid-90s watching this stream. And again, I would hope that folks try to get the information from the source. And one of the interesting comments that was made during the discussion on a potential for an advisory referendum came from the board vice president, Lance Trollope. And of course, Lance Trollope has been on this program a couple of times in the past. And he said that he is open to it. It would not be an immediate. And I think so. I think for folks who did not watch last night, I'll be talking about this again a little bit later on. This would not be an advisory referendum that would be on the ballot coming up in early April of this year. It would be an advisory referendum that would be on the ballot next year. It would be on the ballot in 2024. In fact, that would be a presidential year, presidential primary year. So that would throw another, I think, layer into the voter that would be coming out in April of 2024. But what Lance Trollope was talking about is a lot of folks he's been talking to, and again, you know, you talk about anecdotal evidence, but he would talk, he says, people say, well, I'm against this, and you'd ask why, and then they would give information that was incorrect. So again, I hope folks try to keep a close eye on this and try to get the best and most accurate information possible. And I think we're seeing some, I'm trying as best I can to be as impartial as possible, but it's not easy in terms of trying to find sources that are I would say, trying to get the best information out there. So again, what we're going to try to do is get folks on from both sides of the debate in terms of whether or not the folks are for this restructuring plan that will be implemented or against it. And we're going to hear from somebody that is against it coming up in the next hour in Nora Brown. I'm very curious to hear her thoughts on it, where she feels like the issues are with the plan and what she expects to happen in the future. This, as I've said before, it's not going to be a story that we keep an eye on for a few days or a few weeks or even a few months. It's probably going to be a story we're going to keep on for a couple of years in terms of the whole process here in the city of Wausau and the Wausau School District. We're going to take a quick time out and then come back and have our first guest for today. Again, 3:15, it will be Nora Brown, but coming up next, we'll be talking to Bob Look. That's straight ahead. I'm Chad Holmes. Glad you could join me here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Welcome back. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on this Tuesday afternoon on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And again, on the Civic Media app as well. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, get on it because you can get Bull Falls Radio and all the other Civic Media radio stations, plus get the podcasts and everything else that you'll need. Just go to the App Store or wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app. And very happy to welcome back into studio Bob Look, former state Senate candidate, man that knows his way around a microphone pretty well as well. But good to see you again.
Nice to see you, too. And you know, I'd like to, you know, like the state Senate candidate that's done, you know.
I mean, former.
Yeah, I was former, but it's like, yeah, that's I like to be referred to now as a citizen.
I will remember that. Citizen,
you know,
Bob.
Not that, you know, it was a great experience. I got to meet a lot of people. And the fact that, you know, 30,000 people voted for me, that's kind of cool.
It is, isn't it?
It's cool. I mean, if you say, well, you lost. Well, you know, not everybody wins. In the Olympics, there's like one gold medal winner, right, you know. Right. So I just look at it. There's 30,000 people who thought well enough to put fill in that hole that was associated to my name, and that to me was pleased and I was humbled by it.
So that means you're running again, right?
Sure. I think the presidential thing is well within reach here.
Yeah, I mentioned that presidential primary next year. Oh yeah. His ears perked up right there.
I got nothing else to do, all right?
Before we talk about news and the issues going on, congratulations. That was a really nice story in the Madison newspaper about a quarter century of being the voice of Badger hockey. I mentioned that was cool to see as well, to see, you know, folks saying a whole bunch of nice things about what a great job you've done for the Badger hockey program.
I'll tell you what was really kind of local in the Madison area, because it was in the Wisconsin State Journal. And with the consolidation of newspapers and stuff, there's a lot of lot less coverage of some of the athletic events happening. And there really hasn't been very many stories about the Wisconsin men's hockey program in the Wisconsin State Journal. They were like the Madison Extra or, you know, Madison.com, basically internet stuff. And because they were basically just picking up stuff that was, you know, statewide or, well, anyway, to make a long story short, I had a couple of the coaches say, yeah, well, you got a story written about you. And I'm like, I was just minding my own business. And suddenly Todd decided, he said, do you mind if I follow you around? And, you know, I'm hobbling around with one bad knee as it is. And I said, well, it's kind of boring, you know, watching me wander around. But, yeah, go ahead. But because it's 25 years and finishing 25 years, and the fact is that, you know, I was a one game, that was it. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to just do the first game at the Kohl Center because the person they had hired to be their full-time PA announcer couldn't make that particular day. So I just, sure, I'll help you out. I'll do the game. And the next thing you know, Coach Jeff Sauer calls me into his office. And he says, you're my guy. And I couldn't break him of, you know, just saying you're my guy the whole time. I said, I'm 150 miles from this place. Mm-hmm. You're my guy. So something that was supposed to be one game and see you later, it turned out 25 seasons and more.
I don't know if you know this, but I actually did one game as the PA guy at the Wisconsin Badger Hockey back even before you were there.
Over at the Coliseum.
At the Coliseum, because yeah, a friend of mine who I went to high school with was working in the UW athletic department, and the normal guy was off. It was New Year's Eve, and they always would bring in an international team on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. I had the Lithuanians, and I had those names that are unpronounceable. But, yes, I hear you.
But the point that you made in the story that kind of resonated with me is the wonderful person that Jeff Sauer was, because I was scared out of my mind. I was just basically out of college. It was like this, my buddy said, hey, we need somebody. I know you worked in, you know, work in radio, so mm-hmm. why don't you come on down there? And I am shaking as I go down there to talk to Jeff Sauer to make sure I get all the names right. And he just puts your arm around me and said, hey, great to see you. You know, anything we can do. What a guy. I mean, I wish everybody was like that. This is a guy who had won multiple national championships, a legend at the University of Wisconsin. When I read your story, that brought that back to me.
Oh, gosh. He was an amazing man. And he was one of those guys that... And I remember the last time I saw Coach Sauer before he died, and he knew he was battling some bad stuff, and I was just sitting there, you know, prior to the game down in the media room, you know, going over names and just kind of getting myself together, and he just came up behind me and just put his hands on my shoulders, and he says, thanks a lot, Bob. And I go, Coach, yeah, take care. And it was not more than... I think about 3 or 4 weeks later that he passed.
And it was so cool seeing him at the state hockey tournament as well, because he just loved hockey. I mean, he just loved being around. He was such an ambassador for the game and for the state of Wisconsin.
That's why I felt a great honor when I was asked to cover the high school games on TV. And not only because Jeff Sauer was there, but Rob Andrenga, who was a member of the Badgers team that won national championships and was part of the broadcast crew for Badger hockey on radio and also television. And he, you know, kept it going, and he passed away with cancer. And all of a sudden, a couple of years, well, you know, back in 2021, you know, I'm just minding my own business, and I get this call from the WIAA out of Stevens Point, and they just says, Bob, how would you like to help us out on our telecast? Well, this is during the COVID year. Everything was all up in the air.
And they moved to Rapids that year.
And they're playing it in Wisconsin Rapids. And apparently, my name just came up because the head coach for Wisconsin Rapids, Pat McDonald, I got to know because I was working for the station in Wisconsin Rapids and I was doing high school games. He says, I think there's somebody who can help you out. And my name got passed on. And, you know, and the next thing you know, I get this cold call. And I said, at first I thought, well, what, they want me to be a spotter or, you know, what? You know, and he said, oh, I want you to be the color commentator on the broadcast, on the telecast. I go, okay. But I would like to get there early so I can, you know, see the prelim games so I can, you know, get familiar with the players and that stuff. He says, oh, no problem. We can do that for you. And rest is history. And we did that for two years.
Very cool. And I got one final question about Badger hockey. In those 25 years, what was the most memorable game that you've been working? Was there any that stand out as the one that maybe a bit above the rest?
Way early in my tenure there, when the Badgers had Steve Reinprecht and Danny Heatley playing out there, and they also had another guy on the wing with him, David Huckelo. Now, David Huckelo was one of these guys that, well, you know, he was a nice college player, but that was about it. But he had two Greyhounds. You know, the Reinprecht, who played the NHL for, I think, a dozen years or more, and he's coached. And Danny Heatley, of course, was an all-star and an all-star MVP. Mm-hmm. And so they're out there, and they ended up winning, I believe it was three overtime games on goals scored by David Huckelo on great plays being made by Steve Reinprecht and Danny Heatley to get the puck to him to find the open man and scoring. And this was when the games were full houses. There was 15,000 people in there, and the noise. I think the funniest thing that happened ever at there was the first night that we had that big foghorn. And that was Jeff Sauer's big purchase. He convinced the athletic department to get him this big foghorn. And I hadn't heard this thing at all. And so he says, well, okay, there's this big red button I'm supposed to hit when they score a goal. I don't know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, a Badger score a goal, and I pressed down the button, and it was so loud. It was, you know, and I pulled my hand off of it after just that first initial butt, you know, and everyone's yelling. The fans are yelling at me. What are you doing? You scared the living daylight. And I'm like, the coach, we finished the game, and then Coach Sauer called me in his office and says, listen, it took me a lot to get the athletic department to put in this foghorn. And we get a goal. I want you to lay on it. Okay. All right, coach, you're the boss, you know. So,
man.
So
they trust you, obviously, if they put the big red button right next to you.
Yeah, well, they figure, well, who can we have be in charge of this?
Oh,
let me make the PA announcer, you know, like I'm doing nothing else. and because my view on the ice is not that good when you're down that low.
Right.
So, I'm looking through other players. I'm looking through referees to try to see the referee pointing for goals. So I think I've maybe done it twice where I've hit the horn early. And boy, do I get the grief then.
I can imagine. And finally, 25 years, you got to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I told him, I says, as long as you guys want me, I'll be there. I'm having some knee problems right now. Probably going to have a knee replacement sometime this spring. We just haven't set up the date yet. So, you know. Yeah, you know, I would like to do it, but I told them right up front. I says, I don't want to be that guy that's been there too long.
I know.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't know. On the ice, you know. And so
Harry Carey at the end.
Yeah, correct. You know, I love Harry.
I know, but he lost the stuff.
I mean, which amazes me when I listen to Bob Uecker to this day.
Is that nuts?
89 years old, and this guy is still.
Oh,
one of the
so
best
sharp.
Play-by-play baseball announcers you can find on radio. The end of comment.
He must be doing something right because he's just so good. He is so good. Yet.
Well, he knows how to read the room, and that's what that comedy sense is. He knows when to really focus in. He knows when it's an 11-1 game, time to pull out the B material and go for it.
We are talking to Citizen Bob Look here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We spent so much. I wasn't going to spend that much time on sports, but doggone, I can't help myself. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll have a news update from CBS and also our civic media newsroom, and then come back and actual talk issues with Bob. And then, as well, coming up in the next hour, again at 3:15, we'll be joined by Nora Brown, a Wausau School District parent and organizer of a petition to try and slow down or halt the district restructuring plan and hold an advisory referendum. Again, that is at 3:15, so a busy day here. Glad you could join us. I'm with you until 4 o'clock. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And also on the Civic Media app, we are joined by Bob Look. Always glad to have Bob here in studio. And we both have been in front of microphones for a very long time. And you know, that's one of the interesting, again, back during your little run, that you're now citizen, Bob, but I enjoyed at the UWSP at Wausau event where you talked about, you know, your radio career and how you've, you know, moved around, because in this business, I mean, you never know when the hammer's going to come down. But big media story this week with Fox News, and basically I call it performance art. It's all performance art because they feel like that was the way to make money as opposed to report on a presidential election. I guess, you know, You've been around this business a long time. You've seen it now on both sides. Any thoughts on, you know, and we see it here in town as well. But, I mean, it's just a lot of performance art, isn't it?
Well, it's performance art, but, you know, the performance that I always like to tell the story back when I was working at Milwaukee Radio, and there was an AM station that was a sister station of the FM that I worked for. And they were doing a changing a format. So jukebox oldies was what they called their format. And I would voice track or DJ some of their shifts. And this is in the mid '80s. And one of the jokes or gimmicks that the station did was to have all the disc jockeys change their names, on air names, to things that associated with Milwaukee stuff. For instance, the morning guy's name is Harley Davidson. And they had this one gal announcer called Alice Chalmers. All right. You get where I'm going here. So I'd be doing like weekend shifts and stuff, you know, and I'd be Bob Look. Right? And then all of a sudden, one day I'm doing the shift, and you know, the phone rings, and I say, hi, jukebox oldies. He goes, hey, everyone else at that station has all these fake names of Milwaukee institutions. Why don't you change your name? And I says, because I am a Milwaukee institution. So that was my...
And Thank you, everybody.
My boss says, that was a good one. That was a good one. But I mean, radio's silly. I mean, radio has its things. But when you are out there and you call yourself news, right, and you... Now, again, you can have those interviews. I mean, like, no one will ever accuse Larry King for all the years he did that show on CNN as being news.
A journalist.
A journalist. But he was, you know... He had everybody.
Right.
He had everybody on. But, of course, it's more leaned on more celebrity and that kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, he would deal with political type stuff. But he was always, you know, he would ask questions. He'd have some politician. He goes, so what are your hobbies? You know, and not like your, you know, typical political career. Because right, that was his style.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to do that stuff, that's fine, you know. But what if you're on there and it's called news, and if you have this kind of a personality thing, well, you should also maybe, you know, keep yourself out of the, you know, painting it all in one color, you know, only selling one side of the story.
Right.
Because I used to do the morning show on WSAU here in this town. So a lot of people don't remember that. But this was 1998 to 2000. And I was hired out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota to come here because Howard Gernetzky passed away.
I was going to say, I mean, basically that was the kind of announcer that you wanted to be.
Howard Gernetzky,
and then that they thought you could... carry on a great tradition like Howard had.
Plus I worked with Howard and Rosemary in Milwaukee. They were working for stations that I had, you know, some dealing with. So I knew them from back in the 80s. So, I mean, suddenly, you know, the company says, hey, would you be interested in coming to work back in Wausau? And I went, well, and of course, my wife was like, yeah, you know, because, you know, she had, you know, her kids and family were still back here. I said, okay, you know, I, And the reason why I was a little reluctant to come back here, because this company had shipped me out once before, because they found some big time consultant to run their stations, so they got rid of all the program directors from the individual stations in their chain. So I was a little leery about coming back there, because, you know, but my wife, you know, and she was very, so, and she was happy to be back here.
Sure.
And I, you know, I was doing my, you know, doing my deal, and that, and well, then the station, SAU, got the Rush Limbaugh show. They took it from this particular mm-hmm. station back then, and then they're running his show. And I'm doing a typical morning show where it was, hey, here's the news, weather, and sports, a little happy talk between myself and...
Wake up with a cup of coffee and some smiles.
Yeah, yeah, and we had an open line program from 9 until 10, and would have everybody on, whether you would be Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, it made no difference. You know, we just, everyone, and I hosted it like... You know, like a, right down the middle, mm-hmm. you know, and just, you know, let's have a nice conversation. Well, then we have this open line. Well, anyway, Rush Limbaugh's program's not on. You had Art Bell that was on overnight talking about, you know, aliens
UFOs.
And UFOs and things like that and weird type things. And and the open line, I answered a phone on open line, and it was an open line where people could say what they wanted to say and their opinions. And I picked, you know, called... picked up the phone and hi, WSAU open line. The next thing you know is, what the heck do you got this Rush Limbaugh? And they're tearing into me.
Right.
And I go, well, I'm just, you know, the announcer here. I, you know, do the morning show. I don't really, you know, make decisions on this, but that's something that management would have to deal with. So, well, anyway, it wasn't just one caller. It was, you know, half dozen. There'd be more, and there'd be more people just clawing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have corporate coming up to me and say, hey, why don't you preview those calls before you put them on the air? I says, how can I do that when I'm the only person there? When I'm on the air, the microphone's on, I don't have time to, you know, go through and scan them. They were too cheap to buy to have somebody being paid minimum wage to, you know, the calls. And so I was just... flying by the seat of my pants. I said, it's
holding your breath for every call.
And what's the name of the show? Open Line. So maybe I'm old fashioned, but
they don't want anybody saying anything about their newest superstar program.
Well, I'm just going to say this. You know, I ran for the state Senate district 29, which was most of Marathon County. And of course, Taylor County and Rusk and that. And I never was invited or never was asked to be a guest on their airwaves, on their so-called news programming or interviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I, you know, didn't exist. And I was, you know, I was a candidate, you know, for a state Senate position. And it's not my point. Yeah, you know, I didn't go running to them and say, hey,
I demand it.
No, I was, but I know that if I was in the broadcast, and when I did that, you know, in Wisconsin Rapids,
right,
and all the other stations I've been at, I had an open door policy. I remember having Russ Feingold on and Ron Johnson
right.
on, you know, day back to back, you know, interviews. Anyone, you know, who is a candidate, you're welcome. It's wide open.
You know, one of the interesting aspects about that is not just me, and I've asked GOP members around here, but throughout the state now with our civic media network, we have discussions and stations all over. They ask, but they want to talk to their people. They really have no interest in coming and trying to talk to those that may have a different opinion. So I guess the way the radio stations, well, we got our people, so we don't have to bring them in. And that's not right.
Well, no, I always love to give this example. And I was hosting WSAU. This was back when Jesse Ventura, the wrestler, was running for governor of the state of Minnesota.
As an independent,
right? Now, I happen to see, like on C-SPAN, they would have the, you know, deals, and here's Jesse and the two other candidates,
right,
you know,
right.
The Democrat and a Republican.
I think Norm Coleman was the Republican.
Yeah. Norm Coleman. And anyway, but the funny thing about it was, I'm watching this stuff on C-SPAN, and I'm watching the audience. They're all just, you know, nodding their heads every time Jesse was talking. And that, and now, again, Minnesota has nothing to do with Wausau, Wisconsin. But because of his past history of being a professional wrestler, that to me was like a news story.
Sure.
So I invited Jesse Ventura to be a guest, but I also threw out invites to both the candidates, the Republican and the Democrat, to be fair about it. Mm-hmm. And whoever wanted to, you know, set forward, we'd set up a time and, you know.
Right.
And who was the only one to accept my invitation?
The wrestler.
Jesse Ventura.
The independent. I mean, that says us right there, you know.
Because he was sitting there, with, you know, in the early stages, getting like 2-4% of people and all that stuff. We had, you know, a conversation just talking about, you know, the issues that they were up against and right. his thoughts. And the funny part, my coworkers were like in the other room, ask him about his rivalry with, you know, Don Morocco. And I go, what? No,
I got limited time
here. Yeah, I only got 15 minutes with the guy. Come on, let's, you know. But anyway, so we, you know, we did the interview. And after the interview, and we took a break, and I came back after the break, and I sat there and says, you know, you may call me crazy, but I think this guy's going to win this election. And so I'm covering the election night, 1998. You know, I was in the Republican party, or the Republican celebration at the Elks Lodge here in Wausau. Mm-hmm. And it was not a particularly good night for the Republican Party that night. And
that wasn't during the impeachment.
Yeah, well,
you know, backfired on them.
Yeah, and the Republican Party didn't do that well, you know, except one guy did really well.
Tommy Thompson.
No, Jerry Petruski.
Oh, dear.
Became an assemblyman.
That year.
So it was me and Jerry Petruski and the bartenders. That was it, because they didn't finish counting the votes till like 11 o'clock or so. And I got to first interview him as the assemblyman. But earlier in the night, who's elected governor of the state
just as you called
of Minnesota? It. And I just went, he hit a nerve.
Going back to the whole idea of what we do here, what they do across town, what they do on cable news, as somebody who wanted to talk about the issues, what piece of advice would you give me or WSAU, or what do you think is the best recipe right now to try and make what we do more relevant to people who are out there?
Well, what Civic Media is trying to do, which is I'm a big fan of the attempt of what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring the importance of local radio to the communities that they serve. This has been something that has been under my skin for a long time. When you get a license to operate an over-the-air radio station or communication, you know, you're supposed to be serving that community or serving that area in some way, shape, or form. That's why you have public files, and you got to show, you know, programming that you know, responded to the needs of the community. Well, that was, you know, that was before satellite radio and before all these, you know, they just, let's just hang it up on the bird here and right. and let's pick up something and let it fly. I'm from the old school where a lot of radio stations, you know, signed off at midnight because the radio owners thought, well, nobody's listening to radio from midnight till 5-6 in the morning.
Right.
You know, so we'd sign it off and play the national anthem and ta-da, turn off the transmitter.
You tell young people that they what?
Can't figure it out.
TV and radio would actually play the national anthem and turn themselves off.
Can't figure it out. But I mean, talking to, you know, all sides and having wide open discussions. If you call yourself a news and information station, if that is what your calling is, it behooves them to serve the whole community, not just their own. When I ran for state senator, I think you remember what I used to say. I don't want to be a state senator just for the people who voted for me.
Right.
I want to be the state senator for everyone that's in this district. And I'm going to represent everyone.
We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back with a few more minutes with Bob Look coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Let the us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies and walked off to look for a man.
Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are with Citizen Bob Look. I like that. But great to have Bob in here. One more quick note about, again, public service for radio stations. One thing that, again, I am very proud of with Civic Media is they're still doing local high school sports.
Yes.
While Midwest Communications dropped them.
You're absolutely right, especially here in this part of the state, when you have lesser densities of population and that, because nothing gets a community, nothing gets, you know, a neighborhood, nothing gets, you know, people more banded together, as far as I'm concerned, than high school sports. Now, you don't even have to have a kid participating, as I always like to say, is whether you have a kid that's in the game or in the band or selling hot dogs or just in class in that school, it's something to get, you know, kind of, and it's great entertainment locally. You don't have to have a rooting interest other than the fact, hey, you're you know, it's your neighborhood kids.
See your neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe your neighbor down the block, it's, you know, his son, son is on the hockey team. And, you know, hey, Friday night, what else is there to do? Go, exactly. You know, go to the rink and catch a hockey game. It would, what, cost you, what, $5?
Exactly.
You know? It's like, come on. I mean,
no parking either. No parking fees.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, just have some fun and enjoy it. And, you know.
Community.
Yes.
I mean, and again, that's, I think, you know, as we, what you were talking about previously as well, you know, when you were hosting SAU shows compared to now, instead of trying to split us up, try to bring us together in some way to understand what somebody thinks about the school consolidation plan, not in a, you know, us against them kind of thing, but just about, you know, informational and try to open things up and bring us closer. Because, I mean, even within the sports, sometimes I worry that we don't see as many folks out at the games, that the sense of community is going away because we are all getting into our little corners right now.
Yeah, yeah. And again, how else are you going to know how what your neighbors feel or, you know, or what's going through their minds if you don't communicate with them? You know, sitting at home and sending texts just to the people that you want to send texts to doesn't really expand your horizon. I mean, the best way to communicate is to, you know, just talk to people, you know, face to face. Hey, hi, you know, how you doing? When I was running around and campaigning, you come out there and say, hi, I'm Bob Look, and I'm running for the state Senate. And the next words out of the person's mouth were, well, are you a Democrat or Republican? I go, well, I'm running as a Democrat. And right away, it would, you know, it either be positive or a lot of times it was negative. And I said, well, wait a minute, you know, and I told this story before, and we're talking to a gentleman about the same age as myself. And I says, you look about the same age. You're in mid, late 60s. Yeah, yeah. I said, oh, you got any kids? Yeah, I got two, you know. They're both married. Yeah. Grandkids? Oh, yeah, I got three. And big smile on his face. And he said, yeah, I mean, what do you like doing with the kids? Oh, I'm teaching them how to fish. I'm taking them out there. Oh, great, you know, what kind of fishing? And we start talking for 15, 20 minutes, and politics never came into the discussion. And I would say, you know, we've talked for 20 minutes and we're having a good old time, and, you know, we're sharing a beer here, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and you know, the next thing you know, they go, hey, maybe you're not, you know, the enemy. And that was the one thing I tried to change. You know, I says, I don't look at my opponent as the enemy. I want you, you know, as you know, you make your decisions, we go with it. I mean, that's what democracy is.
It's one of the biggest changes I think we've seen in Wisconsin politics, at least, you know, during my years as a voter, I imagine for you as well, as it used to be, where there was a differentiation between maybe the national parties and then the folks that run for city council or state assembly right. or state senate, where you would see a guy like Tommy Thompson get 67% of the vote, and yet you would see the local Democrat here in Marathon County be able to go back down to Madison. That's probably one of the biggest changes we've seen, hasn't it?
Yeah, and again, you know, like Tommy Thompson, you know, I thought, you know, he was a great cheerleader for the state of Wisconsin. You know, and did I ever vote for him? No. And I says, but I wasn't feeling bad about it because I thought he had his, you know, his mind and heart in the right, you know, and he tried working across the aisle.
Real quickly,
yeah.
He had a comment after Tony Earle just passed away.
Yeah.
It was so nice. It was, I mean, it was such a, it was, and it came really from the heart, and it really made me feel good. And we don't get too many of those feelings right now, do we?
Nope, not at all. And, you know, and that's unfortunate. I believe, you know, in representative government, democracy, and conversations, and to talk out issues. Just don't arbitrarily, oh, you are this kind of party, so I can't agree with anything you say, is the wrong way of looking at things. Absolutely. You'll never get through life, you know, moving forward without at least discussing things and hearing the other side of an issue. If you're going to learn, you got to learn, because you're going to learn a heck of a lot more listening than you are by talking.
You said that so often during your campaign, and I guess as we have about 2 minutes to go, finally, I was, again, impressed with the way you do talk about trying to try to bridge, you know, partisan divides. But at the same time, it feels like it's really more difficult now than it's ever been. I mean, just judging by, you know, the results. I mean, how is there a way to get that bridge built?
Well, the bridge is there. It's just not being used. The megaphones belong to the extreme. The ones that, you know, are way off to the side, they're the ones screaming the loudest. The ones on the other side, way off the side, they're screaming the loudest. But I firmly believe there's this middle of people who just common sense. They may have their little differences one way or the other on a few issues, but they're within the parameters of being able to talk to one another and to work things out and to try to figure out ways to move things forward. I mean, you look at a football team, you have a right tackle and a left tackle. Now think if they were politically that way.
Right tackle.
Yeah. It's like, well, we're only going to run to the right. Well, you know, the defense is going to figure that out. Hey, you know, these guys, you know, I mean, you got to work together. And doggone it, I mean, you know, I always enjoy listening to other people's, you know, side of things because I learn a lot of things.
That's true.
That way. Well, I mean, going through this business, being in radio, if you didn't listen to people telling you, you know, giving you maybe some sage advice at the time, maybe you go, but then the more you think about it, it's amazing how much more smart our parents got as we get older.
Bob, great to talk to you. We'll get you back in here real soon.
All right. Well, hey.
Hey,
new studio's coming up, right?
I know it. We're looking forward to that. Bob, right. Look with